السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
أبا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
Can we start?
نعم
We go.
نعم نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، we are reading from سير علماء النبلاء by الإمام شمس الدين الذهبي رحمه الله. And the سيرة we are talking about is that of فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم from سير علماء النبلاء by الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله. We've spoken a lot about Fatima bint Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We spoke about her name, her lineage, about the Prophet's lineage alayhi salatu wa salam, her marriage, her children, and some of the major events in her life. We spoke about the Prophet's love for her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to such an extent that he prevented that a woman who had come from a background that was far from Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented that such a woman should be married as a wife together with Fatima al-Batul in the house of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhumah. We mentioned some of the names that she was called, just as she was called Az-Zahra, just as she was called Al-Batul, and so on from the names that she was mentioned. We mentioned her children, radiyallahu anhum. We mentioned Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn. We mentioned Muhsin. We also mentioned Kulthum and Zainab. These were the five children she had for Ali radiallahu anhu before she passed away radiallahu anha. We came to page 125, where Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah on page 125 Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned an other when he said to his mother that it says, قَالَ عَلِيٌّ لِأُمِّهِ اِكْفِي فَاطِمَةَ الْخِدْمَةَ خَارِجِيًّا اِكْفِي فَاطِمَةَ الْخِدْمَةَ خَارِجًا, that his mother should suffice for Fatima. His mother should take care of خِدْمَةَ خَارِجًا, the chores outside the home. وَتَكْفِيكِ هِيَ الْعَمَلَ فِي الْبَيْتِ, and Fatima radiallahu anha, تَكْفِيهَا الْعَمَلَ فِي الْبَيْتِ, she would suffice Ali's mother regarding the house chores inside the home. Ali ibn Abi Talib in this report mentioned that his mother should do the job inside, his mother should do the job outside regarding Fatima, and Fatima should do the job outside, wal-ajna, and preparing the flour, wal-khubz, making the bread, wa-fahna, and likewise grounding the flour, the wheat, and other things that they grind. On the same page, Al-Imam al-Zahabi reported a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Abdurrahman ibn Nu'min Abu al-Hakam al-Bajali on page 125 and Abi Sa'id al-Khudri and in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that Fatima tu sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-Jannah Fatima tu sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-Jannah illa ma kana min Maryam bint Imran, that Fatima, she is from the leaders of the women of the people of al-Jannah. Sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-Jannah, Fatima is from the leader of the women of the people of Ahlul Jannah. The people of Al-Jannah would have wives in Al-Jannah, and the people of Al-Jannah amongst them will be women. The wives and the women of the people of Al-Jannah, their leader would be Fatima. Illa ma kana min Maryam bint Imran, except what we have also heard regarding Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Because we also are aware from other ahadiths that from the women who will be leaders of the women of the people of Al-Jannah, there are four of them. And that is from where the class will start today, from page 126, the last paragraph. If you come to page 126, the last paragraph, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, Rahimahullah, reporting from Ma'mar ibn Rashid and Qatada, that is Al-Imam Qatada ibn Di'ama, al-Sadusi, Rahimahullah, and Anas is reporting from Anas ibn Malik, Marfu'an, meaning that Anas was ascribing that report to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, حَسْبُكَ مِن نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ أَرْبَعٌ حَسْبُكَ مِن نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ أَرْبَعٌ Four women would suffice for you regarding the women from the women of the entirety of the world, from all the women in the world. حَسْبُكَ مِن نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ أَرْبَعٌ Four will be okay, meaning four are exceptional from the women of the entirety of the world. And that comes from the paragraph before also, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ أَرْبَعٌ It comes from the paragraph before, when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, khayru nisa'i al-alamin arba'un. It also comes from the paragraph before, when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, afdalu nisa'i ahli al-jannah, the best of the women of the people of al-jannah, the best of them are Khadija bintu Khuwailid, Fatima bintu Muhammad, wa Maryam, wa Asiya. These are the four best women in the world. The four best women of the world are Khadija radiallahu anha, her daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, Maryam bintu Imran, and Asiya bintu Muzahim, that is Imratu Fir'aun, Asiya radiallahu anha. So in this last paragraph, these women were mentioned in this hadith from Anas ibn Malik, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, حَسْبُكَ مِن نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ أَرْبَعٌ Four women would be okay for you. Four women would suffice you regarding any good you desire from women. Any good thing you want to see in a woman regarding her lineage, regarding her devotion to Allah, ibadah, regarding her war, her servitude and abstinence from sins, four women will suffice you. And they are those women, Khadija bint Khuwailid, Fatima bint Muhammad, Maryam bint Imran, and Asiyatu bint Muzahim. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, Rahimahullah, wa sahha al-Tirmidhiyu hadha. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi graded this hadith as sahih. What was that? Wa huwa hasbuka min nisa'il alamin. Four women, some women will suffice amongst the women of the world. Four will be sufficient for you regarding any good deed that you look for, regarding any khisal, regarding any khasla min khisalil khair, regarding any trait from the traits of goodness. These four women will be sufficient for you. And they are Maryam bint Imran, Khadija bint Khuwailid, Asiya bint Muzahim, and Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. On page 127, the next page, Al-Imam al-Zahabi gave another report regarding Fatima. This time he was reporting it from Abu Nuaym. So he said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Marwan, that is Abu Ja'far al-Kufi. He said, Haddathana Abu Hazim, that is Al-Imam Abu Hazim al-Ashja'i, who said, Haddathani Abu Huraira, Anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal, Inna malakan ista'adhan Allah fi ziyarati. Fabasharani anna Fatimata sayyidatu nisa'i ummati. Wa anna al-Hasan wal-Husayn sayyida shababi ahli al-Jannah. Al-Imam al-Zahabi reports this hadith with that chain from Abu Nu'aym, that anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, Inna malakan ista'adhan Allah fi ziyarati. An angel asked for Allah's permission fi ziyarati, regarding visiting me. An angel asked, ista'adhan malakun. An angel asked Allah for permission to visit me. Fabasharani, upon visiting me, basharani anna Fatimata sayyidatu nisa'i ummati. It gave me good news that Fatima is the head of the women in my ummah. Wa anna al-Hasan wal-Husayn. That angel also said to me that al-Hasan and Husayn, two boys from the children of Fatima, that they are Sayyida Shababi Ahli al-Jannah. They are two from the heads of the young people of al-Jannah. Two heads, two young leaders, two young ones amongst the leaders of the young people inside al-Jannah. Even though this report is weak, as we shall read, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said regarding it, Gharibun jiddan. This expression is very strange. Wazuhuli, strange in the sense that it was reported by a weak person. No one was alone with that weak person, Muhammad ibn Marwan al-Zuhuli Abu Ja'far al-Kufi. Nobody was with him in that report. That was why Al-Imam al-Zahabi said it is gharib. He said, Gharibun jiddan. It is very lone. This man, Muhammad ibn Marwan, was alone in reporting it. Wazuhuli. And this Az-Zuhuli, Muhammad ibn Marwan, who was alone in reporting it, Mukillun. His reports are very, very few. When a person has few reports, it means that he was not really engaged and known with learning hadith and teaching hadith. He was not really well known with learning and teaching hadith. So they will say kana muqillan. If he was well known with learning and teaching hadith, they will say kana mukthira. So the opposite of a mukthir, like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, like Abdullah ibn Abbas, like Abdullah ibn Umar amongst the companions, they are called mukthirun. They are also those who are what? Mukillun. Those who have only few reports. They are hardly known to have reported a lot of ahadith. One of them was this man, Muhammad ibn Marwan al-Zuhli. So this report is garibun jiddan. Wa al-Zuhli mukillun. Wa yurwa nahu dhalika min hadith Abi Huraira radiyallahu anhu aydan. It says wa yurwa. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, and this report that inna malakan ista'adhan Allah fi ziyarati fabasharani anna Fatimata sayyidatu nisa'i ummati wa anna al-Hasan wal-Husayn sayyida shababi ahli al-Jannah. This hadith yurwa nahu dhalik. Something like that is also reported again min hadithi Abi Hurairata aydan, from the hadith of Abu Huraira. We also know that we had read previously something like this on page 123 from the hadith of Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman. When we remember that story fully, we said Hudhaifa told his mother when she asked him, radiallahu anhuma, when last he had seen the Prophet. Hudhaifa said, Sa'alatni ummi mata ahduka bin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fakultu mali bihi ahadun mundhu kada wa kada. Fanalat minni. Fakultu laha da'ini ati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa'usalli ma'ahu al-maghrib. We remember this report. At the end of it, when Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman ended that salah, he came behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet was saying, man hadha Hudhaifa, who is that coming behind me? Is that Hudhaifa? Hudhaifa said, radiyallahu anhu, I answered, na'am. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, ma hajatuka, what is it that you want? Ghafarallahu laka wa li ummika. May Allah forgive you and forgive your mother. And then the Prophet said to Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman, Nazala malakum fabasharani anna Fatimata sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-Jannah. An angel came down. Fasta'adhana Allah an yusallima alayya. That angel came down asking a permission from Allah that he wants to say taslim to me. And when he did, this angel, lam yanzil qablaha, he had never come down before that incident. Fabasharani anna Fatimata sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-Jannah. So when this angel came down, he gave me the glad tidings, anna Fatimata sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-Jannah, that Fatima is the head of the women of the people of al-Jannah. We know now that yes, Fatima to Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, but there are other women too in that position, like who? Like Khadija, her mother, like who? Like Maryam bintu Imran, like who? Like Asiyatu bintu Muzahim. These are the leaders of the women of the people of Al Jannah. This hadith also said that an angel came down to tell the Prophet that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as for adding Hassan and Hussein, that wa anna al-Hassan wal-Hussein sayyida shababi ahli al-Jannah, it is one of the things that al-Imam al-Bukhari, al-Imam al-Zahabi mentions to be what? Gharib. Gharib. Rahimahumullah. I hope that this narration is clear. It said that it's a hadith from Abu Huraira, that inna malakan, on page 127, the first paragraph, ذات إن ملكا استأذن الله في زيارتي فبشرني أن فاطمة سيدة نساء أمتي وأن الحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة. أفسدت الإمام الذهبي سيد غريب جدا والذهلي مكل، ويروى نحو ذلك من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أيضا. أفسدت الإمام الذهبي سيد رحمه الله reporting from ميثرة ابن حبيب عن المنهال ابن أمر عن عائشة بنت طلحة عن عائشة أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها قالت. This report comes from ميسرة ابن حبيب أبو حازم النهدي. ميسرة ابن حبيب أبو حازم النهدي. A report from المنهال ابن عمرو, who was reporting from عائشة بنت طلحة. I hope we remember عائشة, the daughter of طلحة ابن عبيد الله. Talha ibn Ubaidillah married Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the young girl who was born after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had died. It was Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Umar made khitbah to her and she rejected Umar. I hope we remember that woman. Umm Kulthum bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. She finally got married to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. She gave birth to a daughter called Aisha. Her name is Aisha bint Talha. She's the one reporting this hadith from Aisha, Umm al-Mu'minin, radiyallahu anha, qalat, ما رأيت أحدا كان أشبه كلاما وحديثا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من فاطمة. ما رأيت أحدا. Aisha said, radiyallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. She said, I never saw any person ashbaha kalaman wa hadithan bi rasulillah min Fatima, who in her speech and in her narrations it is very similar, resembling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min Fatima. Ma ra'aytu ahadan كان أشبه كلاما وحديثا. I never seen anyone who in her speech, in her narrations, أشبه برسول الله, is similar, resembling the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, من فاطمة, like فاطمة بنت رسول الله رضي الله عنها. عائشة said رضي الله عنها, وكانت إذا دخلت عليه قام إليها. When Fatima comes to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قام إليها, the Prophet will stand up to Fatima, فقبلها, and he will kiss her on her forehead, ورحب بها, he will welcome her, وكذلك كانت هي تصنع به. And that was how Fatima would do too when the Prophet visited her. If the Prophet visited Fatima radiyallahu anha, qamat ilayhi, Fatima will stand up onto the Prophet, faqabbalahu, she would kiss his forehead, warahaba bihi, she would welcome, warahabat bihi, she would welcome him alayhi salatu wasalam. فقبلتها ورحبت به, she would kiss him on the forehead, ورحبت به, and then she would welcome him عليه الصلاة والسلام. وكذلك كانت هي تصنع به, because that was how she used to do the Prophet, and that was how the Prophet used to do with her. So Aisha told her رضي الله عنها that ما رأيت أحدا كان أشبه كلاما وحديثا برسول الله من فاطمة. I do not know, I never seen anyone كان أشبه كلاما وحديثا, whose speech and narrations resemble those of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, من فاطمة, like Fatima. وكانت إذا دخلت عليه قام إليها. Whenever Fatima came to visit the Prophet in the house, قام إليها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would stand up to Fatima. فقبلها. He would kiss her forehead. ورحب بها. He would welcome her. وكذلك كانت هي تصنع به. And that was how Fatima too used to do handling the welcoming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This report occurs again in Sunan Abi Dawud by Al-Imam Abu Dawud. It also occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. It also occurs in Mustadrak by Al-Imam Hakim. After that report, Imam al-Dhahabi said, Maysaratu Saduq, Maysara ibn Habib, Abu Hazim al-Nahdi, who reported this hadith. Imam al-Dhahabi said he is Saduq, meaning that he is a person who, when he reports a hadith, the hadith will be Hasan. If he reports a hadith, the hadith will be Hasan. In the paragraph that followed, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, Rahimahullah, Al-Zuhri an Urwa. Imam al-Zahabi reports from Al-Zuhri, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Muslim Al-Zuhri an Urwa. He reports it from Urwa ibn Zubair and Aisha. From Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat, who said, عاشت فاطمة بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ستة أشهر عاشت فاطمة بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ستة أشهر فاطمة رضي الله عنها lived بعد النبي she lived after the prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم for 6 months عاشت فاطمة بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ستة أشهر ودفنت ليلى and her burial she was buried in the night. Aisha said رضي الله عنها that Fatima lived for 6 months after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ودفنت ليلى and Fatima was buried the night. We have mentioned a number of people who were buried in the night. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was buried in the night. Umar ibn al-Khattab was buried in the night. Even Uthman ibn Affan was buried in the night. It is lawful to bury in the night. And these are some of the people in the history of Islam who were buried in the night. If I have not forgotten, I think even Aisha herself, radiallahu anha, might have been buried in the night. Because I remember that she passed away in the night of Ramadan, Aisha, radiallahu anha. In the last paragraph on this page, 127, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, Qal al-Waqidi, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Waqid al-Waqidi said, هذا أثبت الأقاويل عندنا هذا أثبت الأقاويل عندنا This is the most well-grounded of the reports in our view. In my view, هذا أثبت الأقاويل This is the most authentic, most well-grounded report regarding for how long did Aisha live after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha said, for how long did Fatima live? For how long did Fatima live after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Our mother Aisha said it was for 6 months. Ashat Fatima tu ba'da an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam sittata ashhurin. She lived after the Prophet for 6 months. Al-Waqidi said, hadha athbatul aqawili indana. This is the most reliable, the most authentic report regarding this matter in our own opinion. And Al-Imam Al-Waqidi is an authority in the field of tariq. Al-Imam al-Waqidi is a weak reporter of hadith. Al-Waqidi, in fact, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal used to say that Kana al-Waqidi yurakibu al-Asanid. Al-Imam al-Waqidi yurakibu al-Asanid. There are a lot of issues regarding what does that mean, that he would assemble chains of reports for particular narrations. That is regarding a hadith is very, very weak. Regarding tariq, reports of dates of deaths, reports of date of births, reports regarding particular dates that the Prophet had particular wars, those present in particular wars, those absent in particular wars, battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imam al-Waqidi is an authority in that area. So his statement here is so strong when he said, "Hada asbatul aqawil indana," that Ashat Fatima to Bada Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sittat ashurin. Then he said, "Hada asbatul aqawil indana." He said, "Wakal wasalla alayha al-Abbas." It was Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course the bigger, older uncle to Fatima, Salla alayha, who observed and led Salatul Janaza for Fatima. Wa nazala fi hufratiha. Abbas also came down into her grave, radiallahu anha, huwa wa aliyun. Abbas, together with Aliyu, the husband of Fatima, wal-Fadl. Al-Fadl is the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas, from the sons of Abbas. These were the people who came into the grave to lower Fatima, radiallahu anha, into her grave. Her uncle Abbas, her husband Fatima, and Al-Fadl, the son of Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, and the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas. On page 128, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, rahimahullah, wa qala Sa'id ibn Ufair. Sa'id ibn Ufair said, matat laylat al-thulatha. Matat laylat al-thulatha لثلاث خلون من شهر رمضان سنة 11. سعيد بن عفير said, ماتت ليلة الثلاثاء عائشة فاطمة رضي الله عنها بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ماتت ليلة الثلاثاء. She died in the night of Tuesday. The night of Tuesday, meaning that when on Monday we observe Salatul Maghrib, that Salatul Maghrib brought us into the night of Al-Thulatha. So she died in the night after we observe Salatul Maghrib on a Monday. That night that follows the Maghrib of a Monday, it is called Laylat Al-Thulatha, the night of Tuesday. He said, rahimahullah, لثلاثٍ خلو من شهر رمضان. So after 3 nights have passed in the month of Ramadan of that year, meaning that on that Monday after Iftar, Ramadan became 3, and it was that Monday after Maghrib, when the night of Tuesday had started from the time of Maghrib, that was when Fatima died, radiallahu anha. And that happened sanata ikhda asha. That happened in 11th year after Hijrah. We remember that the Prophet died in Rabi'ul Awwal, and she died in Ramadan. That would be some few months as was said by Aisha radiallahu anha. Sa'id ibn Ufair continued and said, وَهِيَ بِنْتُ سَبْعٍ وَعِشْرِينَ وَهِيَ بِنْتُ سَبْعٍ وَعِشْرِينَ سَنَةً أَوْ نَحْوِهَا. And she was 27, a girl of 27, أَوْ نَحْوِهَا, or something like that. So Fatima died at about 27 years of age. Fatima was about 27 in her age, أَوْ نَحْوِهَا, or something like that. وَهِيَ بِنْتُ سَبْعٍ وَعِشْرِينَ سَنَةً أَوْ نَحْوِهَا. She was a girl of about 27 years. أَوْ نَحْوِهَا, or something like that. So this means that this specification of her age is an estimate. She's around 27 or 28 or 29 or 26, something around these 20s. Late 20s. That was the age of Fatima, is an estimation. Wadufinat Layla, as it said in that report from Al-Waqidi, it also comes from the report of Sa'id ibn Ufair, Annaha Dufinat Layla, that Fatima radiallahu anha was buried in the night. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi continued in the paragraph that followed. He said, وَرَوَى يَزِيدٌ إِبْنُ أَبِي زِيَادٍ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ الْحَارِثِ قَالَ مَكَثَتْ فَاطِمَةُ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى السَّلَامِ سِتَّةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَهِيَ تَذُوبُ. This report from يزيد ابن أبي زياد came from Abdullah ibn al-Harith. He said, مَكَثَتْ فَاطِمَةُ بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Fatima lived after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for 6 months. وهي تذوب. She gradually was becoming smaller until she passed away. Maybe because of illness, maybe because of sadness. هي كانت تذوب. She was getting smaller in her size, radiallahu anha. In the paragraph that followed, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, وَقَالَ أَبُو جَعْفَرٍ الْبَاقِرِ. Abu Ja'far al-Baqir, that is one of the grandchildren of Fatima with Ali ibn Abi Talib. His name was Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn. Husayn, the second son of Fatima, had a son called Ali. Hussein, the second son of Fatima, he had a son called Ali, who was also well known from the scholars of Medina. I think that's the one who was called Zainul Abidin, Ali ibn Hussein, ibn Ali. Hussein had a son called Ali. He was popularly called Zainul Abidin. This Zainul Abidin, he had a son called Muhammad. He was the one who was called Abu Ja'far. He had a nickname Al-Baqir. So Abu Ja'far Al-Baqir was the son of Zainul Abidin, Ali ibn al-Husayn. He said, "Matat ba'da abiha bi thalathat ashhurin." Fatima died after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3 months after. 3 months after the Prophet died, Fatima died. But we know that Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Baqir, Abu Ja'far, was far away from that report. That is, even if the isnad that reaches him regarding the reports, if it's sahih. Otherwise, like Al-Waqidi said, rahimahullah, he said, هذا أثبت الأقاويل عندنا. The most correct of the reports we have regarding how long did Fatima stay, radiallahu anha, before the Prophet died. The most authentic report was that Fatima radiallahu anha stayed for 6 months before the Prophet passed away. After the Prophet had passed away, before she died. Radiallahu anha. There's also another report. It says وَعَنْ إِبْنِ أَبِي مُلَيْكَ أَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ كَانَ بَيْنَ فَاطِمَةَ وَبَيْنَ أَبِيهَا شَهْرًا. Ibn Abi Mulaika reports from Aisha that between Fatima and her father, the two of them, their deaths in between it was 2 months between when the Prophet died and when Fatima died. Was 2 months, but like we said, Al-Imam al-Waqidi said that Asbatul Aqawil, the most correct thing is that Fatima radiallahu anha died 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's also the report that follows. It says, وَعَنْ أَبِي جَعْفَرٍ الْبَاقِرِ. Al-Baqir was a nickname for Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Hussein. Hussein had a son called Ali. That boy used to be called Zainul Abidin. This Zainul Abidin had a son who was called what? Muhammad. It was this Muhammad that was nicknamed Al-Baqir. The scholars say the reason he was nicknamed Al-Baqir, لِأَنَّهُ بَقَرَ الْإِلْمِ. لِأَنَّهُ بَقَرَ الْإِلْمِ. What does that mean? It meant that شَقَّ الْعِلْمِ, he caught knowledge. فَعَرَفَ أَصْلَهُ, so he saw the foundation and the roots of knowledge. وَخَفْيَهُ, and the زَوَايَا خَبَايَا of knowledge, the various hidden aspects of knowledge, he knew it. يعني شَقَّ الْعِلْمِ, he broke, cutting, slicing knowledge. And so فَعَرَفَ أَصْلَ الْعِلْمِ, he was able to see the foundations of knowledge, meaning that he had a good grasp of the basic sciences of Islam. That was why he was called Al-Baqir, Abu Ja'far Al-Baqir. He said, أَنَّهَا تُوفِيَتْ بِنْتَ ثَمَانٍ وَعِشْرِينَ سَنَةً. He said that Fatima, his own great-grandmother, passed away when she was 28 years old. Don't forget, in the last report, it said that he had been to Sab'in wa Ishreen sanatan aw nahwiha. She was 27 years old or something like that. So don't be surprised if you find 28. You can even find 26, because all of these are ages that were estimated for her. She will be around 27, 28. Don't forget, she had 5 children at age 27, for Ali ibn Abi Talib. Three boys and 2 girls, Al-Hassan and Hussein and what? Muhassin. These were the names of the children of Fatima radiallahu anha in her marriage with Ali ibn Abi Talib. One of the grandchildren said, أَنَّهَا تُوفِيَتْ بِنْتَ ثَمَانٍ وَعِشْرِينَ سَنَةً, that she died when she was a girl of 28 years old. وُلِدَتْ وَقُرَيْشٌ تَبْنِ الْكَعْبَةِ, when Fatima was born. That was the year that the Quraysh were trying to rebuild the Kaaba. The Quraysh were trying to rebuild the Kaaba. In the year that Fatima died, in the line that followed it, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, وَغَثَلَهَا عَلِيٌّ. The person who washed the corpse of Fatima was who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. غَثَلَهَا عَلِيٌّ. Aliyun washed her. Aliyun gave her the funeral bath. Ummahat, this is evidence that if a woman dies, her husband should give her the funeral bath. Or that if a man dies, the woman can give her the funeral bath. We remember that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam used to have that as a joke between himself and Aisha. If any one of us died first, the other one will give the person the bath. If you die, Aisha, I will bath you. She will say, "Oh, Messenger, if you die, I will also give birth. I will give you the bath of funeral." It means it is lawful as long as a woman can do it. When her husband dies, she can give him the funeral bath. If a man can also do it, when his wife dies, he can give her the funeral bath. Some women will begin to say now that they are the ones who want to do that for their husband. I have had a woman, a wife who dies. My heart is not easy. The mind is usually very, very heavy during those occasions. If a person loses a spouse, whether a man loses a wife or a woman loses a husband, it's usually very tough on the mind, to the extent that saying that you want to give him a bath or the like of that is not something that is as easy as I'm sure we will be thinking now. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think we can stop here. But we have another paragraph we can also read because of the time that we have. وذكر المسبح أن فاطمة تزوج بها علي بعد عرس عائشة بأربعة أشهر ونصف. المسبح الإمام الذهبي المسبح said أن فاطمة تزوج بها علي, that Ali ibn Abi Talib married Fatima بعد عرس عائشة, after the marriage of Aisha. After Aisha's marriage was consummated, after Aisha came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the arba'at ashurin, when it's 4.5 months after Aisha came to the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that was when Ali ibn Abi Talib married Fatima. ذكر المسبح أن فاطمة تزوج بها علي بعد عرس عائشة بأربعة أشهر. When it's al-Musabbih mentioned that Ali ibn Abi Talib got married to Fatima 4.5 months after Aisha's marriage with the Prophet was consummated, wali Fatima tayoma ibn, and on that day when the marriage was consummated, she had 15 sana wa 5 ashhurin. When it's said that Fatima was 15 years old. Fatima was 15 and 5 plus 5.5 months. Fatima was 15 years and 5.5 months old when Aisha got married to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the lesson here? The lesson is that Aisha radiallahu anha got married when she was young. When the marriage was consummated with Aisha, she was 9 years old. But when Fatima got married, she was around 15 years old. Like we said, regarding the age she was when she died, these are estimates. There are no clear cut reports that shows the actual age, but she was around 28, 27 when she died. The same thing. So she was around 15 or thereabouts when the marriage of Aisha was consummated. But that's for Aisha's marriage, because she was far younger, she was more conscious, Islam had come. So Aisha was more definite about when the Prophet married her and when the Prophet consummated the marriage with her. And they have been reported with clear-cut asanid in Sahih al-Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim, and the rest, not upon an estimation, but upon clear-cut knowledge of the age of Aisha. But as for this age of Fatima, they are ages that are based on postulation. The postulate suggests that Fatima was about 15 years old when she married Aliyu ibn Abi Talib. I think that we can stop here conveniently today, inshallah. so that we can take a few questions that we may have. We'll continue from page 28 on the second to the last paragraph in our next classes, in our next class, inshallah. May Allah make it easy and accept it as an act of ibadah. Abba Abdurrahman, we have a few questions. Can we look at them? I mean.
What is your advice regarding a brother going ahead to marry a sister who is found in a deen, but he is not at all attracted to her? Would there be anything?
There is no sin. If you marry her, yes, she's not so beautiful, but she has her deen, she has Islam, she has good character, she has a good family background. Over a little time, that will make you love her. If it were in the opposite, the same way, if a woman is very beautiful without a religion, and a man marries her, after a little while, the beauty will change. After a little while, that beauty will change because he will be seeing her bad character. He will be seeing her bad behavior, and then he will be forced to dislike her despite the beauty. This one has happened practically in many cases. But if the man really loves the religion and the woman has good religion, he will not be able to dislike her. The least thing is that he will not be unfair to her because of her religion and because of his own religion too. But on the other hand, if the woman is beautiful without deen, then over a little time he will dislike her. Her behaviors will be bad, her speech to him will be bad, her manners will be bad, so he will begin to dislike her. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was in this condition. And that asar, if I remember, occurs in the Muslim Sunnah of Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah. He divorced one of his wives, Abdullah ibn Umar, and this isnad is sahih. He divorced one of the wives, and the woman said, "Ya Abdullah, O Abdullah, if a woman divorced, even when she has good religion and good character, should you divorce a woman even when she has good religion and good character?" Ibn Umar said, "Rudduha, go and send her back to my house." So the woman was returned to the house. The divorce was revoked. Why? Because that woman has good religion and good character. Isn't that the same thing that happened between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hafsa? The Prophet divorced Hafsa. طَلَّقَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَفْصَةً. This hadith is the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab. It occurs in the Sunan of Al-Imam Abi Dawud. Umar himself reported it. The Prophet divorced my daughter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was commanded to take her back. The Prophet was commanded to take her back. Why? فَإِنَّهَا صَوَّامَ فَوَّامَ. Because she was regularly fasting, regularly standing up in the late night to observe Salah. It means that a woman can be kept. A man should still keep a woman. You keep the woman. She has good religion. That is every reason for you to keep her. Whether she's beautiful or not, she has good religion, you have a reason to keep her. And bi-iznillah, you will never regret. That's what the Prophet told you. Fadfar bi-dhati din taribat yadak. But if you now join between deen and beautiful, then that is okay. If you join between she has good deen and then she has beauty, that's okay. But for how long does the beauty of a woman last? For how long does it last? If a woman is mentioned to be beautiful, what lasts forever is the deen of that woman. And when a woman has a deen, every day she looks new to you. So you can still go on and marry such a woman with good deen, good character, good family background, even though she may not be the most beautiful woman in the world. You will not regret whatever choice you make that is dependent on your religion. Allah will not make you regret a choice that is based on deen. Is this clear to you? I mean.
Another question is, salam alaikum, sir. Please, what is your advice for
alaikum salam.
What is your advice for an only Muslim sister who works amongst non-Muslims and is called out to pray?
I advise that woman to go away from the middle of non-Muslims. Avoid being in the midst of non-Muslims. They will gradually invite you to what they are upon, especially as a woman. And then they invite you to come and pray. Is that prayer from the prayer, the sunnah, or from where will you find the prayer? Your religion is not based on things like that. Maybe you come to the office in the morning, then they start telling you, you must pray before you start working in the office. You are to tell them that all your adhkars, they come far earlier in the day. You are already fortified for the day. If they are not fortified, they should fortify themselves. The unfortunate thing is that if you reject, they will bring another Christian to make that prayer. And they want to force you to be there. So these are things you must begin to reject from the first day if you are working like this as a woman. But what I will say to you is that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to women regarding salat. If regarding salat, the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that wa buyutuhunna khairun lahunna. How about working? Buyutukunna khairun lakunna. Your homes are better for you, O woman, than going to stay in the middle of non-Muslims and then you are invited to make a prayer. There is no prayer you want to make. It is going to be a bid'ah. Whether you recite Fatiha, it is a bid'ah. You recite now, Qayna Kalkausara, some people do, it is an innovation. The Prophet didn't teach you that. That early in the morning you come to work, people gather for work, and then they say, somebody lead us in prayer. Whatever you do at that time is an innovation. You are upon a bid'ah. You are not upon obedience to Allah. So some people say, we want to show the goodness of Islam, so we want to show that we Muslims too, we can know how to pray. Nobody send you that, oh Muslim, male or female. If it is female, it's worse. If it's a male, then that's not appropriate. Reject that kind of a gathering with non-Muslims from your first day in the office. That is my advice for you, oh woman. Allahu Allah. Amen.
Another question is, please, how can an average working class wife with a low partisan husband struggling to earn make her children to become people of knowledge and devoted Muslims?
The first step she will take is to go back home, she herself. If you want to make your children to be scholars, you can't be absent from a home. Many times people say it. You see a woman flying about in the city. She will tell you that she wants her children to be Ibn Taymiyyah. That's not possible. It's not possible. It's like taking a journey, taking a flight.
Assalamu alaikum ya Sheikh. Would you touch me? Would you love me?
Assalamu alaikum
Assalamu
warahmatullahi. Alaikum assalam warahmatullah. I was saying that when a woman who is not at home, moving all about, as regular as a working class woman would be, away from home, you are now saying that you want your son to be Ibn Taymiyyah. It's like taking a flight for Abuja when you are actually going to Calabar. That flight to Abuja, when your actual destination is Calabar, the Abuja flight cannot come back, bring you to Calabar. When you arrive at destination, Abuja will be announced, not Calabar. That is the similitude that I can give. If you want your children to be scholars upon the religion, one of the first steps of a woman regarding that is to be at home. You see that boy every day. You are with him. You are always with him. Or you take that boy to go and stay with a learned person who will teach him scholarship. Two ways. You keep the boy with you, or you take the boy. What's that? You're a working class, you leave the house early in the morning. The boy too leaves the house early in the morning. The two of you come back in the night. Illa an yasha Allah. Wa yafa'alu Allahu ma yasha. Allah does what he wills. But that is not the way to handle it. It is not the way to handle it. If you want this kind of a scholarship you have described for your son, the mother must be available. All that. The boy should be taken to take precedence with a learned person who will pay attention to him and bring him up as a young learned person, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. Is this clear, Abdul Rahman? I mean. Abdul Rahman, there is a request for you to update the audios of these classes. These requests usually come. I have just read one again here. I hope that
this audio of this
panel are okay. It's a woman who just had a miscarriage, supposed to pray. About Rahman, there's a question. Maybe we can end the day with that question. Is a woman who just had a miscarriage supposed to pray? What is connected to not praying is nifas. Nifas is the blood that follows child delivery. Nifas is the blood that follows child delivery. And the earliest time for child delivery in Islam is 6 months. So if a child, a miscarriage comes from 6 months and above, it will be considered in Islam as delivery. So any kind of blood around that is nifas, meaning that that woman cannot pray. If it comes earlier than that, it is not considered as delivery. It is not considered as delivery. So Allahu Alam, perhaps it will be treated as an illness, like other illnesses. And then the woman will go on to observe her salah. I had been asked again regarding this, that how about when life had already been blown into the body? If life was blown into it, it does not mean that delivering a fetus after 3 months is called delivery. That's why there's a difference between a subtle miscarriage and actual wilada delivery. That is a subtle. Nefas is connected to wilada, not a subtle. I hope that this difference is understood. And the earliest time for wilada is 6 months. Allahu alam. If I find any other thing, inshallah, I'll come back and tell us again. But for now, this is what I have seen, what I understand from what the scholars have said. Allahu Alam. Ameen wa iyyakum. Can we call it a day today? آمين آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أبو عبد الرحمن. There's also a request about صفة الصلاة in درر البهية. صفة الصلاة on درر البهية on the Google. There's a request here for it. Please go and check. I always need something about this. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.